Malachi chapter 3 at verse 10. We're looking at Bible windows. This is the 10th and last message on Bible windows. We've gone through the scriptures. We looked at the places the Bible mentions windows. We've learned what we could from those passages. We've learned a lot of things. We learned about salvation from the window of Rahab. We learned how to deal with the storms of life from the window of Noah's Ark. We've learned how to become involved in Christian service through the window of Paul's escape. We're going to look at giving through the window of Malachi, or the window of heaven. And this is a message that is extremely important because of what's going to follow. And I'm going to give you a taste of that before we leave here this morning. I'm just going to try to whet your appetite on what's behind the window in heaven. Because I believe that there is a window over every one of our lives. Those windows can be open or they can be shut. And it's my desire to have every one of those windows opened and having you receive God's blessings. In fact, one of the ideas behind the window of heaven is that God can do more than your wildest dreams. I don't know about you, but I can dream pretty wild. And God wants to do even more than that. So this message today is foundational. Please don't shut me off because it's a message on giving. Because what follows this is extremely important. And these principles here today are principles that we need to understand and have in our life so that God can open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. There would not be room enough to receive it. How many of you think you still have some room for God's blessing? Do you know that He wants to give you so many blessings that you get to the point where you say, God, I've had enough. I don't know if I can take any more. That's what it's saying. This is far more than financial blessings. That's only the tip of the iceberg. I've never gotten to the point where I said, God, I've had enough finances. Have you? Probably none of us have. But there's so much more that God has in mind than just finances. His blessings go far beyond that. So that's something that we can look forward to. But today we need to study verse 10. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Father, we ask your blessing upon your word. May you bless it to our hearts today. We pray, Lord, that you would give us grace and understanding of this important principle as we begin to look into the doctrine of windows, the windows of heaven, and the treasures that are behind it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A crumbling old church building needed remodeling. The pastor made a passionate appeal for money, looking directly at the richest man in town. At the end of the service, the rich man stood up and announced, Pastor, I will contribute $1,000, and sat back down. Just then, the plaster on the ceiling fell and struck the rich man on the shoulder. He stood back up and promptly shouted, Pastor, I will increase my donation to $5,000. Before he could sit back down, another piece of plaster fell on him again. He stood up and shouted, Pastor, I will double my last pledge. He sat down and an even larger chunk of plaster fell on him. He stood up once more and shouted, Pastor, make that $20,000. To which one of the deacons replied, Hit him again, Lord, hit him again. I'm mindful that our motives in giving may be many and may be diverse. But in Malachi, we find a window that expresses our ultimate motive in giving. It's simply that God has commanded that we give. And if there's no other reason than that, the fact that God has commanded it and we need to be obedient to Him should be enough. Our motivation for giving might be the love of the church. It might be a building program. It might be a particular ministry. Now, these are all good, and they are legitimate motives. But again, the ultimate motive in our giving is out of obedience and out of love to God. If there were no other reason, that would be enough. But that's the only motive we needed. But as we look through this heaven, the window of heaven, we see a couple of things. First of all, we see the law of giving God requires. The law of giving God requires. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, we are given the laws that are to govern our giving. Let's look at those. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? God's answer, in tithes and offerings. Then he says, you are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. First, we learn the procedure of our giving. What are we to give? In verse 8, there are two kinds of giving that are described. They are the tithes and the offerings. They are not one and the same, but are two distinct forms of giving by which we can measure our giving. In the tithe, we see a specific measure of giving. The word tithe simply means a tenth or 10%. This is a specific amount that God requires that we use as a guide in our giving. The tithe really just represents a practical confession and acknowledgement that everything that I have really belongs to God anyway. Everything belongs to God. It's the Lord who gives me what I have. And I'm just admitting to that by giving him back a tenth. The offerings were a special measure of giving. Whereas the tithe is demanded of God, the offerings are desired by God. Offerings are a measure of giving that is over and above the tithe. It's an addition to the tithe. It's giving beyond that which is required. Offerings are an expression of gratitude for all that the Lord has given. There's not only the law that governs the procedure of our giving, but also the law that governs the place of our giving. God commanded that the tithes and the offerings be brought into the storehouse. The word storehouse means treasury. It describes a place where things were stored for safekeeping. There actually was a special treasury room, a special storage room in the temple for depositing the tithes and the offerings of the people. Now, the New Testament counterpart of this practice and place is the local church. You may have heard people refer to storehouse tithing. What they are simply referring to is that they bring their tithes to the church as a place where the Christian, they believe, is to give their tithes and offerings. That doesn't mean that giving is limited to the church, but it does offer here a principle that the church is the place where we bring our tithes and our offerings, into the storehouse. Another law that governs our giving is the purpose of our giving. God commanded the tithe and the offerings to be brought into the storehouse so there may be meat in my house, he said. The word meat simply refers to food and describes the giving of tithes that provided food and financial support to the Levites, who were the priests and the keepers of the temple. As Christians, we give our tithes and our offerings to support the ministries, the ministers and the ministries of the church. Now, as well, the tithe and offerings were used to maintain and provide for the services of the temple. And we not only see the law of giving God requires, but also the lack of giving God rebukes. Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God answers, in tithes and offering. So the word rob means to cover or hide, and has the idea of defrauding. A failure to give tithes and offerings is an act of hiding or keeping from God that which is really his. Notice how surprising this lack of giving. There's a well-worn dollar bill and a $20 bill. They arrived at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing to be retired. As they moved along the conveyor belt to the shredder, they struck up a conversation. The 20 reminisced about its travels all over the country, I've had a pretty good life, said the 20. Well, I've been to Las Vegas and Atlantic City, the finest restaurants in New York, performances in Broadway, and even a cruise to the Mediterranean. Wow, said the dollar, you really have gotten around. So tell me, said the 20, where have you been? Dollar Bill replied, oh, I've been to church. The 20 asked, what's a church? Now there's a lot of truth there. We have to understand that we are to give to God and we are to give with a grateful heart, okay? Not giving grudgingly or of necessity. God wants to give us to give out of a grateful heart because God enjoys cheerful, joyful givers. But you can't run or hide from God. He knows everything. He knows who gives and who doesn't. That's what makes robbing God so surprising. He knows about it anyway. Furthermore, the prophet Malachi reminds us how serious this lack of giving. Verse 9 says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I wonder, what is this curse that could fall upon those who don't give? And God gives a hint back one chapter, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, if you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yeah, I have cursed them already because ye do not lay it to heart. The curse is a curse on our blessings. In fact, in Malachi chapter 3, in verse 11 goes on, God says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time and field, saith the Lord of hosts. God is saying that if we give, if we are obedient to him, he will rebuke the devourer so that he will not destroy our blessings and destroy that which God means for us to have. Unfortunately, if we don't give, if we're not obedient, then God doesn't rebuke the destroyer, and we wind up losing it anyway. So we might as well give it to the Lord and get his blessing. If we withhold from God, he withholds from us. In times of financial difficulties, you know, we need his blessings. You need his blessings. Yet a failure to give results in a loss of blessings. And then let's look at the life of giving God rewards. Whereas a loss of giving results in a loss of God's blessings, we are given the promise of God's blessings if we are obedient in giving. Again, I just got to read verse 10 there where God says, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. God wants to bless his people. God has a desire to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. God has a desire to bless you so that you can live in abundance. And we see the proving of God in our giving. How do you know if God is real? You put him to the test in your giving. And in my opinion, this is one of the most exciting and one of the most challenging statements in all the Bible. God says that you can prove him or you can put him to the test in this matter. God is asking you to do that. He says, if you doubt me, prove me. Put me to the test. And see if I won't do what I say. See if I won't fulfill and I won't keep my promises to you. So we've got these promises and we've got God challenging us. Why is it that some are failing to give? Some are failing to give because of their fearfulness. There are some who are afraid that if they gave as God commanded, they think that we wouldn't be able to make ends meet. They wouldn't be able to pay their bills. And so some don't give because they fear losing what they already have. Some are failing to give because of their faithlessness. It would seem that there are some who are failing to trust God in their giving and believe his promises. And so again, God is asking us to challenge him in this matter. Maybe you haven't given because you've been fearful. Maybe you haven't given because you've been faithless. God says, just put me to the test. You know, if we were to take the time this morning, I know that we would have a lot of people who would stand up and give testimony of how they tried God, how they tested God, and God proved himself faithful in this area. So let's look at the promise of God in our giving. God's promise is that if we obey him, he will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. If we give, he will give, and God always gives back more than we give. You can't go wrong. His promise is that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's his promise. He will give. Not only will he give back, but he will give back more. And he will give back so much more that there won't be room enough to receive it. The word open means to open wide. God wants to open wide the windows of heaven. He's not talking about opening it just a little crack. He's talking about opening those windows wide. God will swing open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon you. The word pour has the sense of emptying. Okay, if you got the window open, God's got this bucket out there. He'll dump that bucket out. He'll pour the bucket out. So that's why the window's open wide, so that he can pour and empty out his blessings on you. God will empty his blessings, pour out a full cup of blessings on you. Now, this is God's promise. And remember, God always keeps his promises. He never fails. He never says he'll do one thing and do something else. He always keeps your promises. The promises of God are yes and amen. You can be sure that if he promises to bless you for giving, he will bless you in the measure promised. This is God's promise. How many of you have ever been to a JCPenney store? What many of you might not know is that the success of the JCPenney stores is the generous giving of its founder, James Cash Penney. During a time of financial hardships, he began tithing 10% of his income to God. God began to bless him, and soon he was giving 20% of his income to God. God continued to bless him, and he would give even more of a percentage to God. By the time he had reached the height of his success, he was giving 90% of his income to God. You say, well, if I had the money that he had, I would tithe too. But he began tithing in a time of debt, bankruptcy, and living in poverty. I doubt that he would have had the success that he did if it hadn't been for the blessing of God upon his life as a result of him obeying God in this matter. When William Colgate, the Colgate-Palmolive Corporation, started out in business, he said to God, I must be faithful to you. He began tithing, and God began blessing him. When John D. Rockefeller, founder of Standard Oil, gave his children their allowance, he always reminded them that 10% went to God, 10% went to their savings, and then they could use the rest of their money as they wanted. I have no doubt that the success of Colgate and Rockefeller were a result of their giving to God. Now, God is not saying that he will make you a millionaire if you tithe. I'm not saying that this morning. But what I am saying that his promises are true, and he promised to pour out a blessing, that he would open the windows of heaven and bless you for obeying him. If you have any doubts, put him to the test, and you can join the many others who can testify that God always keeps his word. And what I want to do is I want to, in the next few weeks, build on this subject of windows in heaven. And I really believe that God will do something in your life. Some things are going to shift. We're going to learn how we can actually throw open the windows of heaven. There is so much more here than financial blessing. What is behind those windows? One of the words the Bible used to describe those things is treasures. God has treasures behind the windows of heaven. I wonder what kind of treasures are there. Every individual you hear this morning, you have a window in heaven, and behind that window, there are God's treasures marked for you. You will be inspired to do what I will be sharing. I think this is going to be something very practical that's going to happen. And when you understand the whole of what we will be saying, I don't think you'll have room enough for all of that. Wouldn't it be great if we'd say, God, my life is full, so full, I don't know if I could fit anything else in. I'm talking about blessings beyond your wildest dreams. How many of you think you have room in your life for more blessings? Could God see your hand? How many of you think you can have some pretty wild dreams? God see your hand. As a pastor, I'm driven to help you open that window. When your window is open, your whole life will take on a different look. I want you to be able to open things that seem inaccessible and hindered. What I'm talking about is accessibility to heaven itself. I'm talking about transmitting from God's abundance to your needs. I'm talking about God blessing not just your finances, but every area of your life. How many of you think you could have a little bit more of heaven in your life? How many of you wouldn't mind an upgrade? Some may even need an overhaul. But God wants to throw open. Say throw open with me. Throw open. God wants to throw open. Think about that. Throw open the windows of heaven and all that the treasures of heaven has. He wants to not just give it in a small measure. He wants to pour it out on you. Every area of your life. All these blessings fall into five categories. These are five categories we're going to be talking about. The provisions of God. God wants to provide everything that you need to meet life's challenges. That's one of the treasures. That's a category of treasures behind God's window. Another treasure behind God's window is the presence of God. God wants to saturate your life with the Holy Spirit. And He wants to take your life and He wants to transform it. Another treasure behind the window of heaven is the providence of God. It's not luck, it's not fate, but it's God's providence. And then the preview of God, number four. Another category behind the treasures, behind the windows, the treasures of God is the preview of God, to be able to see beforehand and prepare in advance for the provisions that you will need in life. Do you know that right now God is providing things for you that you will need in the future? He sees all the way down the road. He sees the direction you're taking. He knows the obstacles you're going to come up against. He knows what provisions you are going to need, and He is right now preparing those, providing those ahead of time so that when you get there, you'll have them. And the promotion of God. You will be able to see favor with others and advancement comes into your life. There are numerous things here for you and I. And so the only question I have for you is, are you ready to unlock a few windows? I'm ready. I've been studying this for a while. I'm ready. I'm pumped for this, all right? And we are going to unlock some of these windows, and literally we are going to see treasures begin to fall. I've been thinking about this for a long time. And you know what? I'll just give you a clue of what God can do. You know that church building up there that we're building? It's something beyond my wildest dreams. I never, ever thought that God would allow us to build something like that. You know, that's just the beginning. Tuesday night, Mark, I hope he doesn't mind me talking about it, but he came and if I ever seen anybody have a genuine salvation experience, it was Mark. I mean, he cried, testified for an hour afterwards. You know, and we've already got a convert. We haven't even moved in up there yet. I think we're beginning to see the windows of heaven open and God pouring blessings. I believe that God has a window over every individual life. I believe that there is a window over your life that God is going to open up and pour out blessings, and you'll say, Lord, never thought this was possible for me. I believe that there's a window over this church, and God's going to open the window, and He's going to pour blessings out upon us. You know, He has promised to do more than we could ever even imagine. I can imagine some pretty big things, but God wants to do even more than that. It's not even entered the mind of man, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. And yeah, that scripture talks about heaven, but I believe we can have a little bit of heaven here on earth. Amen. And I believe that He wants to do more than we can imagine, even in this lifetime. So again, are you ready to unlock some windows? Next week, we'll start unlocking some windows. Have your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands this morning. But I just want you to stop and think. And hopefully you've already done this in this service because we've had communion. But just stop. Is everything right between me and my Savior today? Is everything right between me and the Lord? Because we don't want anything to hinder these blessings. I'm not talking just about finances this morning. I'm talking about any area of your life. Is everything right between you and God? If it's not, would you just take this opportunity to get right with Him? Make it right with Him. Father, I just pray that you would continue to speak to our heart all through this week. Lord, that you would reveal things in our life so we could take care of those things that are not right between you and us. Lord, that we could take care of all those things this week so that when we come next week, we'll be ready to throw open wide those windows of blessing that you have promised. Lord, we do want you to be nearer to us. And so even now we draw closer to you. We draw nearer to you. Lord, realizing that our iniquities come between us and separate us from your fellowship. So we confess of those things today. We confess our and we repent of our willfulness. Lord, our desire to do things our way and to have things our way. Lord, we confess, we repent of those things and we yield to you because even though we don't always understand, we know that your way is best. And we seek to follow you in all things, all matters. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.